This presentation is entitled Attraction of Dispersing Boll Weevils from Surrounding Habitats Relative to Simulated Pheromone Diffusion from Traps. This has to do with trying to make an impact on boll weevil eradication. This pest has been a major cotton pest for a century, incurring costs well over $1 billion. Currently, the infestation in the U.S. is restricted to the lower Rio Grande Valley of Texas. The eradication program, and leading to its success through most of the cotton belt, has been based on a triad of mapping, trapping, and responding treatments of cotton fields. The area of trapping efficiency and interpretation of trap data is important to enhance the boll weevil eradication program activities, and that is the basis on which I'm approaching this particular study. In the area, especially in the winter garden area of Texas where this particular study took place, the cotton fields are often bordered by diverse habitat, native habitat, as well as multi-cropping in the vicinity of these fields. But I just wanted to point out with this that you see the type of habitats nearby. When the traps are placed around the perimeter of the cotton fields, then they often have a mixture of habitat available for both the weevils and also for habitat of the diffusing pheromone plume. The objective of the study was to actually compare patterns of boll weevil capture in these traps located around the cotton fields with the simulated or estimated pheromone plumes from each individual trap into the neighboring landscape, cotton as well as the native and non-cotton habitats. This depiction shows approximately 100-acre cotton field in the center of this figure. The red dots represent the location of the pheromone traps. There are 36 traps around this particular field. We identified seven different landscape features: cotton, as well as brush, trees, non-cotton crops, pasture, water, water features, and then other. That would be roads, buildings, that type of thing, which was a much smaller proportion of this area. But this then identified the habitats to which the pheromone plumes might diffuse into and away from the traps. And this, by the way, was at Rio Medina, which is in the Winter Garden district of the South Texas Winter Garden Zone of South Texas, which is currently eradicated or at least suppressed. And but at the time, it was really a thorn in the boll weevil eradication program. It was very difficult because of the ability of the boll weevil to overwinter in this area. So the concept that I'm putting forward today is a plume simulation model, and it is used to estimate daily pheromone plumes for each individual trap around the perimeter of this field, and it was built using the model builder environment within ArcGIS. In this model, we assume a 22.5 degree plume width. That is the angular size of a sector in a 16-sector array in 360 degrees, and an effective attraction range of 100 meters. And this is all assumed. We then take these daily estimated plumes and composite them into a weekly number or a total that could be compared with the weekly boll weevil captures. And this weekly composite of the pheromone plume was overlaid on the previous map to identify the percentage of habitat coverage by the plume. So then it would vary by day. Wind direction would vary that plume, as well as the particular habitat environment around each trap. The spatial plume coverage then was calculated relative to those seven landscape features that were identified on the map. So here is a side-by-side comparison of two successive weeks in the Rio Medina area. Again, the plume shape is always consistent for every trap, for every day. It's only the direction toward which that plume was estimated to be blowing, and that was based on the prevailing predominant wind direction for that day. It's consistent across the field because we just had the one weather station to record data. I'll mention something in a subsequent slide about the importance of those wind measurements at the local field scale. But a couple of things to point out. Here, if you'll look on, as I mentioned, I did have these grouped into trap lines. So I have a north trap line comprised of eight traps, a west trap line with nine traps, south trap line with eight traps, and an east trap line with 11 traps. It was just a way to consolidate the trap data. What you'll see on the west trap line on the 20th through 22nd of April, on one date we had the plumes diffusing toward cotton. However, on the 23rd through 29th, that did not occur. So you see the variability of where the plume was estimated to be diffusing and therefore potentially attracting weevils. And that was the thrust of this concept. So when I looked at a linear regression, I used stepwise regression, looking at the boll weevil capture as a function of habitat coverage. And what we see on the east, north, and south trap lines, pasture was a significant positive habitat type. So when more of the plume was diffusing into a pasture environment, the boll weevil capture actually increased. When it diffused into a tree and brush environment, it actually lowered the number of boll weevils. On the south line, when it diffused into a non-cotton crop habitat, it lowered the boll weevil captures. Only in the east and south trap lines did we have a significant relationship, a linear regression. And this was all the way from the 20th of April through the 24th of June. So it's going through quite a variation in habitat development, cotton as well as the non-cotton crops, and also in terms of overwintering emergence of weevils. That we would have that changing week by week. But here I'm only looking at it for essentially the early season long comparison. On the west side, we saw that the water feature, we had an aqueduct coming through that area on the west side, and with the associated vegetation, those traps tended to be the highest captures in the early season. And the water feature, when the plumes were diffusing toward that water feature as opposed to toward the cotton or non-cotton habitat, is when it was the highest. It had a positive relationship there, although it was not significant. Here's just to show you a representation. Each of these symbols represents an individual trap for the week of April 23rd through 29th. When we combine the tree and brush habitat at this time, when the plume diffused into a tree and brush habitat with the plume coverage increasing to the right, we see a substantial increase in the capture of weevils. Again, this is the importance of looking at a smaller time sample as opposed to that longer period of time during the early season trying to combine these traps into trap lines over the full period of time. We see that on a given week, we have a very strong pattern here showing that in the early season, cotton at this time was approximately 2 to 4 leaf, and when the plume was advecting into the brush, tree and brush habitat, that was where we were getting our higher captures. However, when we looked at the cotton, and again, it was roughly 2 to 4 leaf stage, the more the plumes advected into the cotton field at that time, the fewer weevils were captured. In other words, if a greater percentage of the plume was covering cotton and not covering some of these other habitats, be it pasture or trees and brush, we would expect a diminished boll weevil capture at that particular trap. Now, one of the reasons for this comparison of plumes and also of the local meteorology is studies, one particular study by Sappington and Spurgeon in the lower Rio Grande Valley looked at the effect of the prevailing wind direction across a brush line on capture. So if traps were placed on the lee side of a brush line, that they would see increased captures, whereas on the leading edge of the brush line, they would see diminished captures. As I mentioned, I had just one weather station at this field. That's not uncommon for a 100-acre study to have only one weather station. We happened to have it at the southeast corner of that field. It was on, it had a location that had a northern exposure. In other words, the southern side was pretty well blocked, had a windbreak, by a fairly dense grove of trees and dense understory brush, that particular habitat. What we saw is the weather station would show a peak in wind only when the wind had a northerly component. When it was from the south, often we had almost immeasurable or calm wind readings at that time. Even though the wind was blowing in an open environment about 6 miles away in the same general area, you see this green pattern is the wind pattern in an open, typical type weather station environment, which has a long fetch. You don't have interruptions, obstacles, and that type of thing. But the fact that the habitat surrounding that field imposed this type of impact on the winds. So that's another feature that we would think would add further variability to traps around even a 100-acre cotton field. So in summary, what I've shown is the application of this estimated pheromone plume diffusion model contributing toward the interpretation of trap data by eradication program managers. Also, I believe it can be used to help identify or to increase our knowledge of relationships between the trap data and the pheromone plumes to affect a strategic trap deployment. Now, around cotton fields, there's a protocol where traps will be placed at a certain interval. But even then, already some of the prior studies on habitat influence has been such that the eradication program managers often will place, if they have the ability to, they'll place a trap near some type of brush or tree habitat in proximity to where their geographic coordinate would have placed it, rather than out in an open environment, if they can do it without really adjusting their trap density. The other is the use of highway trap lines, and knowing that if the trap could be placed where the pheromone plume would actually encounter a habitat where there's a greater likelihood of capturing weevils at a certain period of time, that this might be very useful to bring weather data into the positioning and interpretation of these traps. Future work on the pheromone plume model would also include temporal variability of the lure itself, the lure dispenser. Charles Suh, who is in the room, has a poster looking at this type of issue, one of the factors involved in looking at how the pheromone diffuses from the lure during the period at which that lure is in the field. Typically 2 weeks, with some of the extended lures, 3 weeks, and a possibility that may even be increased in the future. Also, I used available data, which was weekly data, and I'd like to look at not just for boll weevils, but other pest insects that pheromone lures are available for, to look at daily trap data, weather data, and plant data, since it's a dynamic system, to improve the knowledge of seasonal relationships between the captures and the plume coverage. And I'd like to acknowledge the individuals listed here, both within our lab, within the eradication program, and also a local producer. And I think I've used every bit of my time, but I'll be here afterwards if anyone is interested in following up. Thank you.